Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Icebreakers podcast. So it's been a bit, almost a month, but I want to go over the top, like, most surprising things this season again. Because last time I did it, it was only like 2 weeks into the season, and now that we're nearly a quarter through the season, I think it's a good time to kind of go back over things, because this is the point where we see, okay, this team definitely contending, definitely making the playoffs, or this team really needs to pick it up. So I think it's time that we go over that again. It's always good to be able to look through these things and just see what's going wrong, what's going well, and everything like that. And the first thing I want to talk about is the Carolina Hurricanes, who currently are not leading the league, but they are very good. And everybody thought that their offseason was horrible. I was one of those people who thought it was horrible. But proven wrong were we all, because Carolina is playing really well, while their $6 million Kotkaniemi is not playing well. It doesn't matter, because they don't need any more players to really become a contending team. This is a team that could win the cup this year. With Frederik Andersen and Antti Raanta, I think Raanta is injured though, still. But with Frederik Andersen and net during the playoffs, that's dangerous. And let's not forget that Frederik Andersen was actually drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes. But this was when Carolina had like the best goaltending tandem ever. So he was not able to sign with them, got redrafted, and went to the Ducks, I believe. But yeah, Carolina's doing really well. I mean, Sebastian Aho, of course, is doing well. Andre Svechnikov is doing very well. Let me pull up the Carolina Hurricanes stats. I really should do this before, but oh well, I don't care. One of my favorite things so far this season, though, is the Did the Habs Lose site. I thought that was really funny. Okay, this is something that's really surprising. I think everybody kind of didn't really think about D'Angelo much before he was signed by Carolina. We all kind of assumed that he's not going to be good this season, that sort of thing. So, it's surprising to see that he's third in points for the Carolina Hurricanes. And if I'm correct, which I think I am, he's in the top five for points by defensemen in the league. That's just me saying, not knowing fully. Yeah, he's number 4 with 17, and he has tied with Hedman and Ekblad. Above him are John Carlson, Roman Josi, and Adam Fox, which is not surprising. I think it's really surprising that Tony D'Angelo is actually playing well. And while it may not be as surprising if he kept playing with the Rangers, it's still very surprising. And I think that him being in Carolina, a fellow racist state, I think that really helps. I'm joking about the racist part, but he's doing really well in Carolina, and I think he fits well with the top line, which the top line, I believe, is Aho, Kotkaniemi, and Svechnikov. I don't know for sure, but you know, he's playing really well, and I'm really glad about that, because I really like him, like, as a player, not a person, but as a player. But, moving on, I think another thing that we should talk about is the Chicago Blackhawks, who currently sit at 7th in the Central Division. The only team behind them is the Coyotes, who are not that far behind. So, the Blackhawks, I knew for the longest time that they were not going to be a contending team this year. I knew it. I said, possibly wild card, but they don't have the team to make it to the playoffs. And people were mad at me. I said their team's too young and they need to trade their older players. They did that with Duncan Keith, but I think they got Caleb Jones out of it. They got Caleb Jones out of it and something else. But it hasn't really helped them too much because I don't think Caleb Jones is actually playing with them right now. I think he's on the in the minors. But no, I've been wanting them to trade their older players, and they traded Seabrook, who is retired pretty much, and Keith. Now all that's left is to trade Patrick Kane to Buffalo for most likely. They need offensive power. I think that's pretty obvious. Their defense sucks too, but their offense really needs work because their goals for is only 42. Pretty much everything about them is bad. But if they could trade Kane to Buffalo for pretty much any forward on that team, plus a prospect, which they could probably get Dahlin out of a trade. I don't know for sure. I don't know if they're giving up on Dahlin yet. It's hard because I say Buffalo because Patrick Kane wants to go to Buffalo from things that I've heard. He's from there. It was his favorite team growing up. And I think he would just really like being there. If he were to move, I don't think he would go east right away. I could see him going to a Canadian team. I think the Canucks would be a good team for him, the Kraken, or possibly even the Kings. I think those are all very good options for Kane, and they could get a lot in return. They could probably get Brock Besser, and Brock Besser, who else would they get? They could try going for Garland, too. That'd be a bit too much, though. Or they could do Brock Besser in a first-round pick for Kane. If it was Los Angeles, they could give up Drew Doughty. No, they wouldn't give up Drew Doughty. They could give up Arvidsson. He's been pretty good for them so far. They could get rid of Kempe, and they could get rid of a first-round pick. Probably even more for Kane, but who knows. The Kraken don't really have too much. They have Benier, but they kind of want him. I think Taves needs to go as well. After that whole Chicago Blackhawks scandal, I don't like anybody on Blackhawks who was part of that 2010 scandal. Because they lied. They knew about it. Nobody did not know about it. And if it's so bad that Joel Quenneville was fired, and he wasn't on the team anymore, but he was fired. Ugh. Funny stuff. But yeah, Blackhawks, they're not making the playoffs. I really doubt that they will. I think that the way that it is set up right now with the Wild, Blues, Jets, Avalanche, and Predators, I can all see them making the playoffs because the Pacific Division sucks. Well, actually, either the Avalanche or the Predators might not make it. I think Avalanche will. They're on a 6-win streak. I can see the Jets going down and the Predators going up with the way the Predators have been playing. I think the Ducks might make the playoffs this year. It's kind of a long shot for them, though. The Golden Knights have been pretty awful. But the next thing we want to talk about is the Seattle Kraken. People had unrealistic expectations for the Kraken. And when I saw their roster, I was like, okay, they're not trying to win it now. They're trying to build up assets to get more picks. They're trying to do something similar to what Arizona's doing. Getting rid of players to get assets. I don't know why they named a captain right away when that captain's going to be traded anyways. I think it's insane that the management and the owner are doing these things. I don't like the way that Seattle's being managed right now. I think that Ron Francis is not doing a good job so far. He placed Bear Boulay on waivers after he had a really good game with the Kraken. And if I'm correct, he played 15 minutes on ice with the Kraken that one game that he played. Don't know why they'd get rid of him. And then Nathan Bastian is another one. From what I heard, Bastian did not play well, but he has a lot, like a lot of, a lot of room to grow. I think he's going to be good. And the Devils now have him back. It's a very weird thing that's been going on, because every time Seattle puts a player on waivers, they go back to their original team. Or they just trade players back to their original team. Like you saw with Vitek Vanacek. He's on the Capitals again after being picked up by the Kraken. Do you know... I just... Kraken fans, which I am a Kraken fan. I'm from the area. I'm from Washington State. So of course I'm going to cheer for the Kraken. But it's insane to me that the Kraken traded him. I mean, you see how bad Grubauer is doing, except for last night. Grubauer was on fire. On fire on Wednesday night. Absolutely amazing game played by a goaltender that I thought was not going to do well. And he's not doing well. I mean, he was overrated, and everybody knew that. Now, maybe not as overrated as Kemper. Kemper's having a lot of issues in Colorado. But, no, Grubauer's overrated. And Driedger's not a good backup. I think Driedger's won 0 games, actually. I don't think he's won a single game. Let me check that real quick. Yeah, Driedger's won 0 games. He's a 4.78 goals allowed average. And a save percentage of .791. He's... Driedger's played 43 games and has had 43 shots against. Which is insane. He did not start all those games. He was pulled out. Or Grubauer's pulled out, he went in. And there was one game where Driedger got pulled out and Grubauer came in and did even worse. Let me just do the math real quick. On something. Let's see. Yeah, so on average, Driedger was facing 14 shots a game. Yeah, that's really bad. And then Grubauer, let's see, 374 divided by 15. He faces 24 shots a game on average. That is a pretty high number, pretty average at the same time, though. So, kind of sad. I think Colland is off the team, if I remember correctly. It's either he's off the team or he had to go back down to the minors. Nathan Bastian, of course, is gone. He's had 31 penalty minutes. I can see why they wanted to get rid of him. I will say, though, Jordan Eberle and Jaden Schwartz are kind of carrying the team right now. Absolutely insane the way that they're playing. I really like how they're playing. Yanni Gourde's played really well in his 14 games. He has 10 points in 14 games. Really good by him. Mark Giordano, really, really good player. But he is doing really bad on defense right now. He's usually a good player, but this year he's struggling with the -6, +/-. I know that doesn't really matter. But I've seen him play, and it's just not to the level that people thought it would be. I think he plays on the line with Adam Larsson, and Larsson's also not doing great. Sad, I know, but oh well. Now, I want people to put this in to like, I want people to know this. There's only 2 players that actually have a positive +/-, and that is Jonas Donskoy. And where did he go? And Colin Blackwell. That's just sad. That's so sad. Ugh. Anyways, yeah, Seattle's not performing the way they should be. They need to trade Giordano, for one. Giordano needs to go. He is a lot of money, and he's not worth it. Another player that really, really needs to be gone is Wennberg. He's a lot of money, and he's not performing the way that I thought he would. He has 11 points, but he's not performing the way that I thought he would. I mean, so bad. they have a lot of bad contracts on that team. Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane. But anyways, to go on to our next topic, I want to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and everything that's going on with that team. So, at the beginning of the season, I think that Nikita Kucherov played in three games. Kucherov played in three games. He left one of those games with an injury. And he is out until at least late December, early January. He's not skating yet, which is a bad sign for the Olympics. Or not the Olympics, but for getting back on the ice. He's injured. He was injured 8 to 10 weeks. He's coming back, though, late December, early January. And then just a few days ago, it was announced that Braden Point is also going to be injured long-term. He is injured week to week, 4 to 6 weeks, with an upper body injury. And I don't remember how Kucherov got injured. I think he had a groin injury. But Braden Point has a shoulder injury. And it was caused by being tripped up by Devils defenseman in the offensive zone on a breakaway. And he sent it to the boards. And a little McDavid type injury there. And he took the penalty shot that was awarded, completely missed, or not completely missed, actually. No, I'm thinking of a shootout. No, he hit the crossbar, and you can tell he was in pain. Out for a while, but that's not the surprising thing. The surprising thing is that the Lightning are playing very well, still, without those two. Braden Point was already playing very poorly this season. I was very disappointed in the way he was playing for the most part of the season. But now he's doing better until he got injured. But Steven Stamkos is kind of carrying this team on his back right now. Same with Vasilevsky. But Stamkos is 7th in points in the league. 22 and 18 games, playing very well. Absolutely amazing gameplay by Steven Stamkos. Alex Killorn, really good this season. 17 points in 18 games played. He's on track to have a career season. Victor Hedman. Hedman is playing very good offense and pretty good defense. 17 points, again, in 18 games played. He is a +2, which is better than his 0 that he had for the longest time. And he's just playing a very good defensive game, as well as offense, which really helps the Lightning. An underrated player is Matthew Joseph. 7 points in 18 games. But this kid, insane. He's insane. He goes out there. He can play two-way, not as well as Cirelli, but he can play a two-way game. He knows how to play defense and translate that into an offensive opportunity. And watch him play. Watch three games. Focus on Joseph, and you will see what I'm talking about. He's a very underrated depth player in the league. And then, of course, like I mentioned earlier, Anthony Cirelli is playing very well. He has 12 points in 18 games. He has played amazing on penalty kill. Absolutely insane game by Cirelli. He's on the second power play unit. He's gotten 2 goals on there. Done pretty well there, but his biggest accomplishments happen on the penalty kill and when he's playing with Stamkos and Barabule at the moment, I believe. And speaking of Barabule, he's not getting a lot of time on ice, but he's playing very well. 5 points in 9 games is not something you just look at and be like, okay, he's a pretty good player. No. He's playing very well, but he's not getting the minutes that he deserves. He plays on a line with Stamkos and Cirelli. And he's had goals in 2 games in a row. He plays against the Kraken. He's going to be playing against the Kraken, which is technically today when I put this up. Very exciting game by Barabule so far. I'm really impressed by what he's done. But away from all of that with the Lightning, we gotta talk about somebody else, and that somebody else is the Colorado Avalanche, who have really struggled this season. I don't know what's gone on with them, but that's not good. The way they're playing is not acceptable. They've won 6 games in a row, but that means that they're 4-5-1 at one point. Not good. They're 10-5-1 right now. That's pretty good compared to the Lightning, who are 11-4-3. So not as many losses, less games played, of course, but not good. And part of that is because Cale Makar's been injured. Kuemper was injured, I believe. Nathan McKinnon is injured. They're riddled with injuries. But even then, if they want to make it far in the playoffs, or make the playoffs at all, they have to have more than just their stars playing. You see the Edmonton Oilers, they're playing very well, but when it comes to playoff time, if they don't fix their depth, then something needs to change. They need to get depth players. They need to get rid of a lot of people and replace them with players that are known to be good. Playing with McDavid and Draisaitl, good playing depth, know how to work the strategy that the head coach wants, which I'm pretty sure is Tippett. I think it's Tippett. That's the head coach. They need to listen to what he says and work well with his strategy, because every head coach has a different strategy. And like what we've seen with the New York Rangers, who are playing it phenomenally this season. They are a playoff team. They are a playoff-ready team. And there's no doubt about that. But the Rangers, they hired a new coach. They hired the Vegas Golden Knights old coach. I think his name's like Gerald or something like that. And he's a more of a gritty coach. He likes grit. He really likes to be physical. And it's worked. Because the Rangers are 12-4-3. 27 points and 55 goals for, 52 goals against. Pretty good. Pretty dang good. And another big factor, of course, is Shesterkin, who is having a Vezina caliber season. I have been a fan of Shesterkin ever since I first watched him back in the 2019-20 season. I think that was the first, that's when he played his first game. I watched him play and I was like, this kid is going to be great. He is going to be the future once Lundqvist retires. And I was right. I was so right about Shesterkin. He is a franchise caliber goaltender. He is a Vezina caliber goaltender. And he is the perfect replacement for Henrik Lundqvist. Georgiev just wasn't cutting it. And I know there were reports in the summer about him being traded or wanting to be traded. He actually denied all those. Georgiev did not want to be traded. Shesterkin's played very well. Just insane the way they've been able to play. That's just a surprise in itself. Now, next up, and I am very sorry for any Isles fans who are listening to this, but holy cow, you guys suck. I'm sorry, but 5-9-2? When you have a healthy team and you still can't win, I don't care if Pulak and Pelech are gone. They're not that great of defensemen. They're overrated as hell. And you're relying too much on those players. You can't do that. You can't rely on those defensemen to play defense, especially when they're gone. I think they've only been gone for, I don't know how long Pelech's been gone. Sorry, I don't know how long Pulak's been gone, but Pelech's on COVID protocol and he's been gone for only a few games. If you don't have better defensemen who can actually help, then what are you doing wrong with practicing? What are you doing wrong with the moves you're making? What are you doing wrong when the offense is not able to play offense. The Islanders have 3 goals in their home stadium. Not stadium, home arena. And they've played 3 games in the home arena, if I'm correct. And I'm looking through this right now, and currently it looks like, oh my goodness. Currently it looks like the Islanders, okay, this is just, this is sad. This is really, really sad. Oh my god. Oh no. The Islanders have the worst goals for in the league. And yes, Arizona does have more goals for than the Islanders. But let's not forget, Islanders have played 4 less games than the Coyotes, but still. A Coyotes team whose best forward is Clayton Keller at the moment. That's just sad. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say about this embarrassing team. You guys made the Eastern Conference Finals against the Lightning twice in a row. And this is not the team that I remember the Lightning playing against. This is a team that's really wanting Shane Wright, it looks like. Insane. It's so insane. The Senators just aren't a good team. I mean, nothing good you could say about the Senators, really. Canadians, they're so bad right now, but they're riddled with injuries, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. Bruins are playing pretty poorly, but they've only played 16 games. Let's see. The Golden Knights, they're doing better now that they have some players back. The Kings, everybody thought the Kings were going to have a chance to make the playoffs. I was one of those people who thought, okay, this is the Kings' year to come back and make it to the playoffs, to not be one of the worst teams in the league. Yet, they sit at 6th in the Pacific Division. 8-8-3 with 19 points and on a 5-loss streak. I don't know what to say about some of these teams. I mean, such high expectations, and you just cannot go through with them. Let me just list off teams that have been pretty disappointing to start off the season. And I'm gonna put on the LA Kings, Vancouver Canucks, Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche, Chicago Blackhawks, Boston Bruins, Montreal Canadiens, Pittsburgh Penguins, Philadelphia Flyers, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've all been disappointing at least some point in this season. Tampa currently holds the record for the longest time without leading in goals in regulation. That's bad. Really bad. Yeah. Pretty much, there's not really much to say now. I mean, I'll probably have another post up talking about the Braden Point injury and what that means for Lightning and how they're going to have to adapt without Braden Point in the lineup. But I have other things I need to get done. I have a whole article to edit. So, yeah, that will be it.